Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Today, inspired, I think, by the lovely sunny weather we've enjoyed over these last days, I thought we'd climb a mountain. The good news is that you can do it wherever you are and whatever your level of fitness, and we have an experienced guide to lead us. But be warned, our mountain guide might have a few challenging thoughts to share with us on the climb. And Ruth Rice is back with another suggestion for making the most of Lent, these weeks of preparation leading to the great celebration of Easter. There's notice board news as usual and music too. Speaking of which, let's start with a hymn that links us to a great celebration. March the 17th was the Feast of St. Patrick, so our first choice this morning is the familiar words of the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd, set to a traditional Irish tune, St. Columba, and sung for us now by the Brigham Young University Men's Chorus. King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Words based on the 23rd Psalm, set to the Irish melody St. Columba, and performed there by the Brigham Young University Men's Chorus and Philharmonic Orchestra. The international charity Christian Aid exists to create a world where everyone can live a full life free from poverty. But what's it going to take to achieve that? To help us reflect and work out our own answers, Christian Aid have created a series of podcasts intended to take us on a journey through these weeks of Lent, to Easter and beyond. The series is called Walking Humbly, inspired by a verse from the Old Testament of the Bible, where the prophet Micah says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." This is a verse that's often quoted by Christian Aid and similar organisations. And for good reason, here we have it in writing what God wants of us. Doing justice and loving kindness are hardwired into the campaigning and generous giving of all those who share that same vision of a world where everyone can live a full life free from poverty. But what about the walking humbly part of that verse from Micah? What does it mean to walk humbly with our God whilst doing justice and loving kindness? That's the question that Christian Aid are exploring in their Walking Humbly series of podcasts, and you can find them on the Christian Aid website, christianaid.org.uk. And I'm extremely grateful to Wendy Lloyd, the Faith Communications Coordinator for Christian Aid, and the production team for their permission to use some of the podcast material on this programme. I hope you'll find it interesting and challenging, and perhaps it will encourage you to go to the website and listen to the rest of the podcast series. So far, the series has looked at the benefits of slowing down and listening so we can reconnect with God's vision for how the world can be, and campaigning as a way of showing our faith in action. But today, we're going to climb a mountain. We're going to do it in the company of two members of Eco Congregation Scotland. We'll find out more about Eco Congregation later in the programme. But right now, we're going to meet their full-time chaplain, David Coleman, who will lead us up the mountain. Then their programme coordinator, Judith MacLeod, reads a passage from the Bible about another mountaintop experience. Then David returns to help us reflect on how our relationship with creation could be.
I'm not a mountaineer. I'm an occasional hill walker. But a couple of years ago, the day after the hottest day of the year, I had the chance to climb Sulven. It's the sort of mountain you look at and say to yourself, I'm not going to get up that. But apparently, thousands of people before you have. Anyway, I made my way to the starting point of the walk where there seemed to be some buildings, but no human beings in sight. The mountain was still a lot further than I'd anticipated, but the path wasn't just about getting there. There was a rustle in the undergrowth and a badger crossed the path, disappearing before I could get the camera out of the bag. I had to watch my step as a toad sat right in the middle of a narrow patch. I tried to encourage the toad to shift for their own safety, though there were no other walkers in sight. Deer looked up on a nearby hill and then carried on grazing. I gave thanks that they didn't think me a threat. And as I drew closer, because I was seeing it from a different angle, the mountain changed shape. Looking up, the twin summits of Sulven were now covered with cloud, albeit moving around quite fast. Maybe it would clear by the time I got up there. If yesterday had been the sunniest day of the summer, this might be the wettest, at least way up there. Out of nowhere, another walker appeared. He was following an ancient path across country, so he said, heading in the direction I had come. He didn't tell me more than that, though, and strode purposefully on. That was the only human I saw that day, surrounded by life. I found a path uphill, which by now was more like a waterfall. A great flash of lightning with a near instant crash of thunder made me jump, and then another, and then another. And by the time I was far enough up to see the way I had come, the rain had come on so hard I had to just stop and sit and let the clouds pass over. All on my own. But no. A strangely patterned frog climbed over my foot and I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. They must have been there all the time. But I realised I was now surrounded by about 30 deer, moving freely, walking confidently, not just on the paths I was clinging to. They knew I was there. And maybe in their own way, they were laughing. I didn't get to the top that day. The final summit, well, Sulven gives you a choice of two, actually. The final summit was just too wet and slippy. But the view as I came over the ridge took my breath away, with the jagged outline of Stack Polly and all the surrounding landscape, with no other people in sight, but full of the life with whom we share this planet. And that, and the walk itself, was more than enough.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen.
Jesus did not neglect opportunities to pray in and with very diverse environments and company. Indeed, in this story, Jesus leads his friends into the extreme environment of the mountain. The theme of walking humbly also makes a lot of sense. Approach the unforgiving immensity of a mountain with anything other than respectful humility, and you will not last long. It's arrogance, as well as ignorance, not reading the signs, that leads to call-outs for the mountain rescue volunteers. And I'm reminded of the story of the Wizard of Oz when Dorothy and her friends are conned into wearing goggles to shield their eyes from a non-existent glare. We choose similarly protective glasses to view Earth as our property, or even as a disposable gift, rather than a living partner, a beloved family member on whom we depend. Looking creation in the face, letting them look back at you, can dazzle and inspire awe. There's glory in each sunrise and set. And some fellow humans, indigenous peoples whose marginalised voices began to be heard in Glasgow at COP, are content to live already in that dazzling glare of constant and conscious relationship with creation. What we seem hell-bent on blinkering ourselves into is far less than we're called to as human beings or as church, bringing good news to every creature. The power word for me in this story is dazzling. There have been a few times up hills when this began to make experiential sense. Clouds, wind, rain, and even whiteout. But whatever the mountain those four friends climbed, you and I will hear the tale and process it and be moved by it very differently when we bring it together with our own concrete experiences of hills and mountains. Now, I have no interest in explaining this story away or making arrogant claims that this is exactly what happened or how, but what I can do is encourage us to experience it rather than just hear or read it. So I'd like to suggest that the men on the mountain became, for Peter, James and John, Elijah and Moses. And therefore, who is it that we might need to see when we are dazzled and overloaded by what we've heard about climate, extinction, the oceans and more? Last year, I squinted through the glory and saw perhaps Greta Thunberg and David Attenborough, prophets young and old. The prophetic voice of our day indeed says, "I want you to panic." The disregard of vision invites the perishing of the planet. Or maybe, more dazzling still, we look over and see talking with Christ about what it might take to heal the world ourselves, who have a part to play. What if it was myself I saw there? What if it was yourself that you saw? Then we'll hear that voice, which commands, or is it implores, disciples like us to take some notice. As the clouds dance around the mountain, concealing, revealing, which as climate does change are loving us with warnings, like the warnings that make up so much of the teachings of Jesus, what is it that we need to take notice of? And then we'll remember that Jesus spoke also to trees and seas, to life and death. His conversation was with those whose voices, both human and non-human, we ignore and disregard at our peril. Those voices whom both through science and the delightful experience of the life of the world we welcome, respect, honour, acknowledge, partner with, and maybe even obey.
We're going to have a few minutes so you can reflect on the story, the reading and the reflection that you've just heard. I'll offer a few questions just to aid your reflection. Do you have a memorable hill or mountain experience? How can we cultivate a constant and conscious relationship with creation? Who do you need to see when you feel dazzled and overwhelmed by climate chaos and other world events?
Thank you to Wendy Lloyd, the Faith Communications Coordinator for Christian Aid, and David Coleman and Judith MacLeod from Eco Congregation Scotland. And you can find the whole series of Walking Humbly podcasts on the Christian Aid website, christianaid.org.uk. But what is Eco Congregation Scotland? David Coleman is their full-time chaplain and explains.
For the last 21 years, and at a time when both our awareness and concern about climate crisis has matured beyond expectation, Eco Congregation Scotland has drawn together and encouraged a great diversity of local Christian gatherings, together with Christian Aid and other charities, denominations and colleges, to reshape our relationship with creation, looking to spiritual resilience, hope and joy, to change what we can change and deal with what we can't. We've seen how environmental engagement deepens faith and enriches fellowship in approaching 600 registered congregations, with an awards scheme and local networks, as well as a really lively online community. We bring about conversation between faith, politics and activism. Action becomes prayer, and the deeply green threads with which Scripture is woven come vibrantly to light. Whatever your tradition, you will find you have something to offer and receive. Following Christ makes all the more sense in our awareness of threat and the continuing structures of injustice and addiction to miserable and wasteful lifestyles. And there's joy in the struggle, alongside other faith groups, in covenant partnership with fellow creatures and our beloved earth, whom God in Christ so loves.
Music echoing our theme of walking humbly. I hope that by creating this space to listen and reflect together, we might be refreshed and re-energized as we continue our long journey to climate justice. And now it's time to welcome back Ruth Rice, who's joining us each week during Lent with an invitation to do a bit of spring cleaning. Following the breakdown of her own mental health some 12 years ago, Manx-born Ruth Rice founded Renew Wellbeing, a charity that runs simple cafe-style spaces where basically it's okay to not be okay, where mental well-being is the top priority. And whilst anyone is welcome at Renew without pressure or judgment, Ruth's own deep faith puts God at the centre of all she does. In her latest book, The A to Z of Wellbeing, Ruth uses every letter of the alphabet not to give instructions, but to help us to find our own peace and wholeness. And each week during Lent, Ruth chooses one letter from her alphabet of well-being and offers us some thoughts that we might use to spring clean our own mental health and perhaps even reach Easter embracing a new life. Today, the letter is E for empty.
It might seem, again, an odd word for you in my A to Z of well-being to have such a negative word as the word empty. But this is a really important word for me, to know that you don't have to always come full to overflowing. I was always a person before I had a breakdown that thought that that was what being a Christian was supposed to be about, to be overflowing with joy all the time. So when I found my life empty, I found it really difficult actually to empty myself, I think, has been a good practice. Here's a little bit I will read you from the empty chapter of my book, The A to Z of Wellbeing, and it's under the section Learning. So we have the sections Connect, Learn, Get Active, Take Notice, Give for each letter. These are the five ways to wellbeing. One habit for this word empty that I practice daily is again with a cup. It does seem that a lot of my wellbeing is drawn from this one basic image, a cup. I think I have a cluttered mind that helps to have a simple practice. It may be simple, but it has depth. So I take my cup, I drink my drink, then I sit still and I hold the now empty cup in both hands. The symbolism is of the cup of my life and the hands are God's. But the emptiness, looking into the now empty cup and accepting the emptiness, is also part of my meditation practice. If I have a busy day, I take a bigger cup, so I have to sit still longer to drink. And then I see more emptiness and more need for filling. This habit of accepting emptiness reminds me of darker times when I've had nothing, felt nothing, could do nothing. Instead of running from those memories, I accept them and remember I got through that. The emptiness filled up, and it was only through emptiness that I made space for real peace, real shalom, real well-being. This simple habit means I try not to panic when I feel I have nothing, when I can't handle something. I try just to recognise and name it. Then I ask God to fill me with his love and compassion. This is a morning practice, but it can be repeated at any time of the day. If you would attach your inner practice to an outer activity or object you can see or use them frequently, then you will be reminded often to acknowledge your own need. The other practice I have is called Palms Down, Palms Up. I have a cluttered thought life, worried in a mess. So I sit with hands facing upwards and imagine all these people and thoughts in my hands. And then when I'm ready, I turn my hands over and imagine the things I carry being placed into God's bigger hands. I don't drop them, they're important. I hand them over. Then I turn my now empty hands back over and receive peace. This can take a few turns, even with one thought or person I'm worrying about. You don't have to do the hands thing, you can just picture it, but I do think involving your body can help you engage with your mind. It helps me anyway. You might have your own habits. The important thing for me is not to be afraid of emptiness. A word here about this practice, I don't ever empty my mind in meditation as some practices would have you do. Personally, I feel safer replacing what is cluttering my mind with a true and good thought. What experience have you had a feeling empty? What do you turn to fill yourself up? Because we can fill ourselves up, can't we, on things that aren't very satisfying. How does it make you feel to go empty-handed into a situation? And then this is the prayer. And it's based on some stories in the Gospels where people came to Jesus for healing. The woman pressed through the crowd for healing. Fear or no fear, I choose to believe. Trembling and hiding and reaching through the crowd, not daring draw attention to my shame, or publicly announcing you're the only one I need and pleading for your help, I come again, daring to believe I reach out to touch the space where I'm sure you must be waiting just for me. I bring my empty heart, throwing caution at your feet. There are moments when I simply have to be here, fully present, fully broken, fully empty, believing in the message of the cross, where not seeing is believing, but believing leads to seeing. I bring you all my weariness and loss, and fear or no fear, faith or no faith, you reach out and fill my empty space with Holy Spirit breath and joy that conquers death, and choosing to believe, I glimpse your face.
Ruth will be back next week with another letter from her alphabet of well-being. And if you'd like to follow Ruth's daily short videos, you'll find them at ruthricebooks.online. With the outbreak of war in Ukraine and its effects around the world, some of the focus of attention has naturally moved away from the pandemic. But COVID is still very much with us, and on the 23rd of March, it will be 2 years since the first lockdown began. During that time, lives have been turned upside down. People have been devastated through illness, death, long COVID, financial uncertainty, and fear of the future. So, in association with Marie Curie UK, the 23rd of March has been named as a National Day of Reflection, remembering those lost during the pandemic. So, this Wednesday, the Cathedral in Peel will be open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Cathedral Curate Reverend Ruth Walker says, "We aim to offer a quiet space for personal prayer throughout the day, but we also have 3 short services, all dedicated to those who died due to COVID. At 9:30 on Wednesday morning, there'll be Holy Communion. At 12 noon, there'll be midday prayers. And on Wednesday evening at 5:30, there'll be a congregational sung evening prayer. Everyone's welcome, but you're also invited just to visit alone, maybe light a candle and pray or reflect. Or perhaps you'd like to visit the cathedral gardens, where you're welcome to pick some flowers and then add them to vases that'll be placed at the various prayer stations around the cathedral in memory of those who have died." And now let's take a look at the rest of our notice board, and we start, unfortunately, with news of a cancellation. No Mariners service in Union Mills this evening. Hopefully the service in Port St Mary next Sunday will go ahead as planned. If there's any change to that, I'll let you know on next week's notice board. But no Mariners service in Union Mills this evening. Lent lunches are on offer all around the island, and we thank everyone involved in providing the food and everyone who is supporting them. As it's quite a long and detailed list, I'll give you all the information in the 10:15 community calendar on sundown tonight. Or you could take a look on Facebook. Search for Isle of Man Lent Lunches and you'll find all the information there. Mothers' Union branches around the island will be gathering at the cathedral this Friday afternoon for a special festival service. It's in the cathedral in Peel this Friday the 25th at 2:30. The guest speaker is Mrs. June Horton, York Provincial President, and she'll be commissioning our new diocesan president, the Reverend Jeanette Hamer from Kirkmichael. The service is open to everyone. Come along and learn about Mothers' Union and share in a time of fellowship and chat over refreshments afterwards. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back later, so do please join me if you can tonight at 9 o'clock for Sundown, a rich mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. And do please email me if you've got items for the notice board. My address is judithleigh@manxradio.com. So till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week, and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.